want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
The title of this message is Don't Just Talk About It, Reach Out and Take a Hold of It, Part 2. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 through 6, I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but we read the story about Elijah, who is about to leave this earth, and Elisha, who is following him, and Elijah tries to tell him, hey, look, you stay here, I'm going to go over there, and Elisha says, absolutely not, I'm going to go wherever you go. I know where the stream of anointing is that God has placed in my life, and I'm not going to forsake it for anything. That's why I always tell people, listen, I don't believe in church hopping and I don't believe in church shopping. I believe in you better hear from God what he wants you to do and where he wants you to be. And then you get in that place and that commanded blessing is going to come right there to you. Okay. I believe that. It's not based on the music or how charismatic the preacher is or how nice the building is or any of that stuff. You better hear from God what he wants for your life. And if you do that and you get where he tells you to get, there is a stream of anointing that is designed, specially designed for your life. And so Elisha says, no way. He said, I'm not leaving. And Elijah a couple of times tried to tell him, look, you stay here. He said, oh, no, I'm going to have my eyes on you when the time comes. He knew that Elijah was about to leave. In fact, the company of the prophets kept reminding him. He says, yeah, don't even talk about it. I know it's about to happen. Don't talk about it. I'm busy keeping my eyes on this mantle right here because I know this mantle is for me. And so in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, it tells us he also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. I mean, that's a pretty amazing thing that happened right off the bat, right? He takes that mantle. Again, that mantle represents the anointing that God had ordained for him because he was faithful to be where God wanted him to be, no matter what circumstances said. Okay, and that's important. And so with that cloak, Elisha was able to do many miracles, but he had to reach out and take a hold of it. That mantle could have fallen right in his sight, but had he never reached out and taken a hold of it, it had done him no good. And so we also said that there was a couple other examples. Samson, in Judges 15:15, it says that he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey. He reached out his hand and took it, and with it he struck down 1,000 men. That jawbone became an incredible weapon in his hands, but again, he had to reach out and take a hold of it. Then we talked about Moses, how God told Moses, throw your staff down. And that thing turned into a snake. Moses did what I did. He ran from it. And he says, now reach down and you take that thing by the tail. Take a hold of it. So Moses reached down. He took a hold of it, and it became a mighty staff that God used to perform many miracles to literally set the Israelites free who had been in captivity for 400 years serving the Egyptians. All of that happened because he was willing to reach out and take a hold of it. And sometimes when God wants you to reach out and take a hold of it, in your own mind, you might think, man, I'm not going to do that because that's like a snake. I mean, that thing will bite me. I've heard people say, I'll do this for God and I'll do that for God, but I ain't doing that thing for God. For some of you, that snake it represents different things. That snake represents the thing that God told you to do, and you said, I don't want to do that. Well, you don't have to do it. God won't make you, but you're not going to see the miracles that God has lined up for your life and your ministry. So we see all these examples of those that had to reach out and take a hold of it. And it doesn't matter how much glory or power or peace or joy or prosperity or anything else, anointing that is within your reach. If you don't reach out and take a hold of it, it does you no good. And it does nobody else any good. Can I tell you that this is not just about you? And this is not just about me. The people in your life, the people around you, they need you to reach out and take a hold of it, because God has called you to be their deliverer and you may not even know it. And I believe in that. In fact, I've said, anybody who comes to this church, you're probably the deliverer for your family. I just believe that. I believe that there is an anointing, there's a stream of anointing that flows into this ministry for those who God has called to be the deliverer for their family. And it's not even natural. So the Church of Jesus Christ, we said, is just like Noah's Ark in the Old Testament. When the flood came, what happened to the Ark? That Ark actually rose to its highest place. And so many times we try to run from trouble. We just want the intercessors to pray the trouble away. We just, you know, we don't want to be in the trouble. But the truth of the matter is, when the flood of trouble comes, if you're in the ark of safety, if you're in the ark of Jesus Christ, which the scripture says that represented him, if you're in that ark, all it means is those troubles are going to cause your life to rise higher than they've ever risen before. You're going to see things, experience things that you've never seen before, and it could not have happened had the trouble not come. The Lord told me many years ago, he said, when I'm working in your life, when I have something very intense for you to do, when I have something that I need to accomplish through your life that is absolutely impossible, I have to allow you to go through something that's absolutely unfair that your mind cannot comprehend, so that you have to completely depend on me. Because you'll not be able to do what I've called you to do unless you're in complete dependence upon me. And that helped me to understand some things a little better in the way the kingdom works. You know, there were some things that had to develop in my life, so the Lord had to allow me to experience some very hard, unfair things. False accusations and slander and everything else. Why? It made no sense. I'd say, God, why would they do this kind of thing? Well, because God said, I'm trying to do something in you, and this is the only way it can get done. Then I was able to turn around and actually love the people. I was able to love them instead of having resentment toward them, and realize that because of the anointing that God was placing on my life, I was actually able to function as a deliverer for them. I'm not going to say any names, but there was a particular lady who had a disease. A doctor told her, in 2 years, you're not going to know your children. You're not going to know their names. This thing is progressing so fast. This was someone who at one point had done some things and said some things that caused great, great pain for us. But God cleared all that up and fixed it. And I was able to lay my hands on that lady, and she was healed and went back to the doctor. And the doctor said, I've never seen this happen, but this has completely, totally reversed. You don't even have scars on your brain anymore from this disease. It's gone. See, God'll take you and cause you to be the deliverer for the very ones who were bringing the flood of trouble, if you'll do it right. So, if God, in all his wisdom, saw fit to allow us to live in this season, how many of you know this is a crazy season in this world? If he saw in his wisdom that we would live in this season, it's because he knows that he has placed something in us, and he has placed us in something that cannot sink. And he knows that what he began in us, he will be faithful to complete. Now, we got to cooperate with him. You can't abandon ship. Just imagine if Noah had abandoned ship. Wouldn't have been pretty. But God put Ezekiel in the midst of the valley of dry bones. Why did he do that? Because he knew that Ezekiel possessed the power to transform that situation. He puts us in the midst of a bunch of dry bones sometimes because you're the only hope that those dry bones have. We praying for God to kill them. God's wanting us to speak life to them. I don't really want God to kill them. I just want him to give them diarrhea real bad for a while. Stuck in traffic with a bad cold, so they sneeze a lot. But understand, as we said, you may be the only Christian in your family, or the only Christian on your job, or the only Christian at your school or in your class for you young people. You may be the only Christian on your block or in your neighborhood. But God, as we said last week, wants you to stop pouting and start prophesying. He wants you to begin to speak life. But you got to reach out and you have to take a hold of it. What does it mean to reach out and take a hold of it? It means make up your mind you're going to obey God no matter what. This is our time to rise and shine. We read last week, Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2, arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, the darkness covers the earth, and the thick darkness is over the people, but the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. God said that it's going to get real dark in this world, and it is real dark in this world, and it's getting darker. But Christ in you is going to light the way for those who are bound in the darkness. And He says, when I shine on you, the glory of the Lord is going to shine on you. And you're going to lead the way for not only people, but for nations. In fact, verse 3 says, nations will come to your light, the kings to the brightness of your dawn. So this is not the time for the church to quiet it down and do everything we can to keep anybody from being offended and change the vocabularies. Like, we don't call sin sin anymore. We say, well, it was just a mistake and all that. This isn't the time to tone it down. This is the time to rise and shine. This is a time to speak God's word with boldness and authority and power. This is a time that we declare ourselves for God. This is the time that we do like Moses. And Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? Declare yourself and make your choice clear. Joshua told the people to choose this day who you will serve. He said, if you're going to serve them false gods, then go do it. But if you're going to serve the true God, then stand up and do it. Jesus demanded the same thing. He said, if you're not with me, you're against me. He says, if you're not gathering with me, you're scattering. God has called us. Right now is a time to gather. Right now is a time. And that doesn't mean just, well, we just come gather together. No, that means reach your arms out and begin to gather. Bringing in the sheaves, right? Begin to gather people. Do your very best. You know, yesterday I got to preach at a sad, heartbreaking funeral for a young woman who passed away way too early. But the Lord told me a long time ago, He said, don't you dare preach any more soft funerals. You preach the gospel. Amen. So always let people know, if I'm going to preach this funeral, you just need to know I'm going to preach the gospel. And I want to preach it as clear as I possibly can. I cannot tell you how many people responded to me after that and came and said, people that have never been in a church like this. And they said, that was the most amazing funeral I've ever been to. They said, usually, and I had several people tell me this, usually they just talk about the person and how good they were and how wonderful they were. They said, we went to church. I said, yes, you did. Listen, that's what it's about. I told the people in that room. Some of you were there. I told the people in that room. A lot of you will never come to my church. You never have, and you probably never will. But I have this one shot. I have this one opportunity. I'm going to preach the gospel to you. And praise God, a lot of people responded. So Jesus said, if you're not gathering, you're scattering. That means, in other words, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And so if you're on the Lord's side, you're part of the solution. Now, I said all that to get to where I'm getting today. Like Esther, you and I have been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. God was not surprised by Putin doing what he's doing. God is not surprised by the politicians in America doing what they're doing. God's not surprised by any of that. And it is a dark time. But you know what? We serve a God who put His light, His glory upon us to shine. Don't just fall into the natural realm of wanting to argue with people about this stuff. Let the light shine. The light is the answer. So maybe you've been on the backside of the wilderness for a long time. Maybe you've been hiding in a cave. But God's been working on you. Because God's been teaching you how to live by faith. God's been building His word in your life. He's been squeezing you and He's been breaking you. And when I say you, I'm not talking about the real you. I'm talking about the part of you that you thought was the real you. He's been molding you, making you, shaking and baking you, but never forsaking you. Come on, I was a poet and didn't know it. Why was he doing that? To prepare you for this time. Because he's been calling you into a vessel which is worthy to carry. Listen, he wants to turn you into a vessel that's worthy to carry the glory and the anointing to the world. And there are some things you just have to go through and experience in order to really be able to carry that and not abuse it. He's been making you into a carriage that carries the King. And so how you respond while you're in the process is always going to determine how long you have to stay in that process. I'm going to say that again because I know some of y'all have no clue what I just said. How you respond in this process, what process? The squeezing. How you respond in that process is going to determine how long you have to stay in that process. You got to stop fighting it. You got to allow the squeezing to happen. You got to allow the wheel to roll over the olive of your life so that the oil can come out. Elisha was proved faithful as he served under Elijah, by the way. He was there until Elijah was taken up, and so he was able to take up the mantle with a double portion anointing. As I said last week, man, look, any anointing that's in my life for the generations coming behind me, I don't want them to just have the same anointing. Man, I want that thing to be doubled. Why? Because they got their own plus mine, plus my pastors, and plus his pastors, and all that. And it just keeps multiplying. So he didn't run when the going got tough. He was there until Elijah was taken up, and so he was able to take that double portion anointing upon himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, "So then men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God." What does he mean by secret things of God? Things that the world doesn't see or understand. He says, "Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful." If you've never proven faithful, you're just a wannabe. What does that mean? You went through something and you stayed faithful. You felt crushed. You felt pressed. You didn't even understand what was going on, but you stayed faithful. You said like Job, "Though you slay me, I'm still going to trust you. You can kill me, God. It's not going to change anything. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to cling to you." If you're never proven faithful, you're just a wannabe. And a wannabe is someone that wants to be, listen, they want to have a title, a position, a recognition. They want the power. They may even want signs, wonders, and miracles. They may want all of that stuff, but they are not willing to pay the price. The mantle of Elijah was more than just a piece of cloth wrapped around his shoulders. It symbolized everything that the man was, that God made him to be. It represented his sacrifice. It represented his commitment, his surrender. It represented his faith, his love for God, his consecration, his power. It represented it all. And when Elisha took up that mantle, it meant he was saying, "I don't just want the mantle of power so I can do some great things. I understand that I've got to step up. I've got to be willing to pay the price. I've got to live the life that the mantle demands." And that's why there's not a whole lot of people carrying that kind of mantle, because they're not willing to pay the price. They just want to live. Look, we're Americans, man. We're all about the American dream. We want things to be nice and easy and you know, hey, we're Americans. We deserve it. So we fall to pieces when gas goes over $4 a gallon. In fact, we fall to pieces when something happens, drastic, terrible, horrific happens to our life. I put this thing on my Facebook and nobody hit like. I don't know how I'm going to make it through the day. He was saying, "I'm going to live the life. From this day forward, I'm going to be who this mantle says I am." Now, a little side note in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11 says, "As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind." Kind of touched on this last week, but why did the Lord separate the two of them? I believe it's because Elisha would have tried to take hold of Elijah. And God never intended for us to take hold of a man. He intended for us to take hold of the mantle of anointing as that is left to us. I believe that. And so that's why Jesus said to Mary Magdalene, you remember after the resurrection in John chapter 20, verse 17a, Jesus told her, "Don't hold on to me. I've not yet gone to the Father." I used to think that, well, you know, there was something, I don't know, maybe his body wasn't, you know, maybe there was some kind of, you know, funk still left on it or something. You know, he didn't want to. I didn't really understand that. But let me tell you what it means. Let me tell you why he said, "Don't hold on to me." He said, "Don't hold on to my humanity. because I have a mantle that I'm trying to bring to you. I have a mantle that I'm trying to give you. And then what did he tell her right after that? He wanted her to take hold of the mantle of anointing that he was leaving behind as a messenger of the gospel. And he tells her immediately after in verse 17b, he says, but tell my disciples that I'm going to the one who is my Father and my God, as well as your Father and your God. What did he say? Don't hold on to me. Don't try to hold on to my body. It's not about this body. It's about the mantle of anointing that the Father sent down to give to his church to do what? Go preach the gospel. Go tell people he is risen. See, he never intended for us to hold on to a man, only the mantle that God placed on that man. And then Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, he told his disciples in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. What did he just do? He just transferred all of that authority to them. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You know, this little old church in this little old town, we have a global vision. And how many of you know you can have a global vision without naming your church global or international? I know people whose their church is named global, or it's named international, but they ain't doing anything anywhere outside their four walls. They're not reaching out. They're not sending missionaries. They're not supporting missions around the world. They're not doing any of that stuff. I'm not saying that as a point of pride. I'm saying that God has called us to be global no matter where we are. Understand that our impact, what we do, can impact and affect people literally all over the world. And we've strived to do that from the very beginning. And as I've said many times, I believe that in my lifetime, God has given us the vision to either send or support missionary work in every single country of the world. We're at about 68 right now. And so, listen, I believe that God wanted us to not get caught up in our own little thing and make church about our own little thing. That's why when we were praying about a name for this church when this was started many years ago, God said, don't call it Iway Community Church. Don't limit yourself to just this community, because it's not about just this community. Community is important, but God has called us to touch the world. That's what the Great Commission involves, okay? And now it starts here, and if we're not doing it here, well, what are we doing trying to do it over there, right? So, but he said to go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teach them to obey everything that I commanded you, and surely I'll be with you to the very end of the age. And then Luke tells us what happened next in Luke chapter 24, verse 49 through 51. He says, now I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But then he tells them, after he gave them the Great Commission, he tells them, stay in the city until you've been clothed with power on high. You know what he said? He's saying, don't try to do this in the natural. Listen, church, don't go try to do the work of the kingdom with your natural marketing plan. Don't ask the world how to do this. You go be endued with power. And when you get endued with power, then you're ready to go and reach the lost and preach the gospel and baptize them. Listen, he said, stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Now I want you to think about that scene. He said all this and he blessed them and he was taken up into heaven. What was he doing? Well, I believe he was doing the same thing that Elijah did, or God did with Elijah for Elisha. I believe that when Jesus rose in the presence of those witnesses, he was dropping his mantle to the church to take a hold of it. I hear the Lord saying today, don't just talk about it. Reach out and take a hold of it. What have you done with the mantle that God gave you? Listen, is your Christianity nothing more than showing up to a church service on a Sunday morning to hear some music and to hear some preacher shout and spit? It better be more than that. Because you have a calling on your life. You have an anointing that's on your life. You've been called to bring the glory of God, the light of the gospel, to the dark world that you live in. Understand, church, the mantle of Jesus Christ himself is in reach. The mantle of Elijah was wonderful, But it doesn't even compare to the mantle of Jesus Christ. And he has dropped that within our reach. Tell your neighbor now, reach out and take a hold of it. You know, you can look at it, you can dream about it, you can preach about it, you can shout about it, you can sing about it, you can even write books about it, but nothing is going to happen until you reach out and take a hold of it. Again, how do I reach out and take a hold of it? I say, God, it's no longer my will, but your will. Lord, I'm making the final decision to let you make all the rest of my decisions. Lord, just like your promises are yes and amen, God, when you tell me to do something, it'll be yes and amen. With the jawbone of a donkey, Samson slew 1,000 men, but he had to reach out and take a hold of it. Moses delivered 3 million Israelites, at least 3 million, with the staff, but he had to reach out and take a hold of it when it looked like a snake. When you take a hold of this mantle or this jawbone or this staff, what you're saying is I'm in the game. I'm getting in the game. I'm not playing church anymore. I'm not just scooting around, skirting around the outside. I'm not just going to use Jesus to try to make my life better and take my problems away. I'm in this thing and I'm in it for life. I'm not going to just be a spectator on the sidelines. I am a participator in the glory of God. I choose God's side. I choose truth. I choose holiness. I choose faithfulness. I choose obedience. And here's the other thing. I don't have to get any credit for it at all. You get all the credit, Lord. I choose faithfulness and obedience. Mordecai told Esther in Esther 4:14, he said, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will still arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." Tell your neighbor, you're in a royal position. Yeah, God put you there for a reason, so that you could open your mouth and speak and save lives. Now notice what it said. He's Esther. If you don't reach out and take a hold of this mantle, somebody else will. Somebody else will. God's going to do everything he can to save as many people as he can. But you and your generation and your family will suffer for it. You know, the word of the Lord is this. That mantle has fallen within your reach. And if you don't reach out and take a hold of it, if you're not willing to pay the price, somebody else will. I'm not talking about reaching out and taking a hold of a title or a position or any of that kind of stuff. You don't need any of that kind of stuff. None of us need any of that stuff. We just need the anointing, and we need an obedient heart that loves God and loves people. The mantle's fallen within your reach. Somebody else is going to walk in the anointing that God intended for you if you're not willing to reach out and take a hold of it. Somebody else will heal the sick and cast out devils and work signs and wonders. Somebody else will possess the presence and the glory and the power of God. But you will deprive your generation, you will deprive your family of the potential that God has placed in your life. You'll deprive your children, your family. You'll deprive your loved ones. And the people that live around you, you're going to deprive them of the anointing and the power that God put within you specifically to reach them. Because you would not reach out and take a hold of the mantle. You'll have nothing to pass to your future generations. Tell your neighbor, please, don't just talk about it. Reach out and take hold of it. Now, one more thing, final thing. Back in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "Elisha saw this and he cried out, 'My father, my father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel.'" And notice what it says. "And then Elisha saw him no more. But then he took hold of his own garment and he tore it in two." So this is what I was just talking about when I said, I don't have to get the credit. See, before you can take a hold of God's mantle, you got to be able to take a hold of your own mantle, your own earthly mantle and your own earthly desires and agendas. And you have to rip it to pieces. Because God is not looking for a better you. He's looking for a new you. Amen. Your old clothes, your old, we'll put it this way, your old fig leaves that you've been patching around your private parts all this time, they're going to do you no good because you'll be exposed as a fraud. I wasn't going to say that. Your old self-centered humanistic solutions will not work. The humanistic solutions of the modern day church will not work. Your own fleshly efforts are absolutely no use to God whatsoever. Before I can take a hold of the mantle that God has provided for me, I must first take a hold of my own mantle and rip it to pieces. You got to rip to pieces the old juice, not so that you can sew it back up and put it back on again. You need to rip it up so that you have a new mantle to place on your life, and that's God's anointing. Last scripture, Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off, everybody say put off, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Can I tell you that even in this room of wonderful people this morning, it is possible that somebody may be sitting here and their life is being run by their own deceitful desires and they don't even know it. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a very real possibility. But notice what he says in verse 23, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. See, the new self is the true self. The new self is who you're supposed to be. That's why I say, don't go to God. Don't ever go to God and bargain with him about how wonderful you are and why he should do this to you and that and do this for you and so on and so forth. No, 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 no. That old carnal thing. Well, you know, God, at least I never did this and I never did that to that person. And Lord, they really deserve me to punch them right in the nose, but I didn't do it, God. And we bargain with them. The truth of the matter is just get rid of that old self altogether. Let the new self arise. Take up the mantle of anointing that God has placed within your reach. Go out and do something for the kingdom. It doesn't have to be. Look, it doesn't have to, unless God calls you to this, it doesn't have to be that you go move to a foreign country somewhere and become a missionary. It may be that. But how about right here where you live? How about right here in your community, right here on your job, right here in the grocery store and Market Basket or Spring Market? How about right here where God has you in the moment? How about let the light shine right there? Amen. Tell your neighbor one more time. Don't just talk about it. Reach out and take a hold of it. Now, come on, respond. If you say, listen, and don't respond if you don't mean it. I'm telling you, don't ever put a show on for people. But if today you know God is urging you to, you know, reach out and really take a hold of this mantle that we're talking about. It doesn't mean God's going to make you be a pastor or anything like that. It could be that. But wherever you are, I really want to shine. I really want to rise and shine. I really want the glory of the Lord to show in my life. I really do want to be the deliverer for my family and for my friends. I really want that in my life. Why don't you raise your hands to the Lord right now and let's just receive that mantle from Him. God, we know you already dropped the mantle for us. God, we're reaching out right now to take a hold of it. Lord, we're not satisfied with just living an old religious life and calling ourselves a Christian, but we do nothing for the kingdom. God, we want the glory of the Lord to rise upon our lives, Lord. We want the light to shine brightly. Father, we're reaching right now. We're reaching to take a hold of it, God. Right now, we refuse to be satisfied to just live through this life trying to survive, trying to have things, God, trying to be comfortable, trying to live the American dream. God, you've called us for a kingdom purpose. And I pray, Father, not one person abandon that purpose. I pray not one person within the sound of my voice, Lord, reach the end of their life without fulfilling the purpose, the divine purpose that you've placed upon them. Oh, God, I pray for an increase of your anointing, Father, happening in our lives as we really, truly reach out, take a hold of it, and begin to use it, God. Lord, immediately when Elisha took up that garment, that mantle, immediately, God, the first miracle happened. Father, I'm praying for the supernatural to happen in the lives of these people. Lord, immediately. Father, I thank you that it's you who have called them, you who have anointed them, you who have stamped on them the place of a deliverer. And I pray that they're able to walk in it, God. We know we're not responsible for the reactions of the people whom we bring the light to, God. But we are responsible for our actions, whether or not we ever brought the light. So Lord, I thank you for raising up a group of people who will live beyond the natural and will live in the supernatural and will, Lord, not get caught up in all the little things that the world gets caught up in. But Father, we'll keep our eyes on you and we'll keep our heart, Lord, tuned to you and what you want in our lives on this earth.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.